Today's Old Testament reading is from Habakkuk 1:1-4 and 2:1-4. This can be found on page 811 in your pew Bibles. The oracle of God, which Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and thou wilt not hear? Or cry to thee, violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou make me see wrongs, and look upon trouble? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law is slacked, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. I will take my stand to watch, and station myself on the tower, and look forth to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, Write the vision, make it plain upon tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its time, it hastens to the end, it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come, it will not delay. Behold, he whose soul is not upright in him shall fail, but the righteous shall live by his faith. The word of the Lord.
Good morning. Today's New Testament reading comes from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. That is found on page 1038. That's 1038. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Jesus Christ, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is written within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace that was given to us in Jesus Christ before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and through life and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And for this reason I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. The word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading will come from the Gospel of Luke. This morning we'll be reading Luke from Luke 17, Luke chapter 17. And I'm going to begin with verse 1 instead of verse 5. So we'll be reading from verse 5, Luke 17 through verse 10. I just want us to hear those first five verses of scripture before our lectionary reading. So it is found on page 910 in your pew Bible. So let us listen to God's word for us. And he said to his disciples, temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to him by whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and were cast into the sea. than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in the day and turns to you seven times and says, I repent, you must forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this sycamore tree, be rooted up and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down at table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and gird yourself and serve me till I eat and drink, and afterwards you shall eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that is commanded, you say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. The word of the Lord. Several weeks ago, we read where the disciples asked the Lord to teach them how to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. And the Lord instructed them how they were to pray. This week, the disciples make of the Lord another reasonable request. Lord, they ask him, increase our faith. Give us more faith. The disciples, to their credit, understand that faith is not something that we can give ourselves. It's not an achievement that we can boast about, but faith comes to us as pure gift, as a pure gift from God. But like most of us, they believe that they don't have enough, and so they ask for more. Lord, increase our faith. I think that we've all prayed that prayer at some point in our lives. When I was a teenager, we used to watch, before going to church, Brother Leroy Jenkins on TV. He was a faith healer from somewhere in the Carolinas, and he would call people up, people in wheelchairs and people in crutches, and he would lay hands on them, and they would get up from their wheelchairs, throw away their crutches, and begin to dance. And I used to remember thinking to myself, if I just had that kind of faith, if I had more faith, the faith that Leroy Jenkins had, I'd be able to do all these wonderful things. Lord, increase my faith. I remember, too, hearing the prosperity preachers and their claim that God wants to make us rich and all we have to do is name it and claim it. And I remember thinking to myself again, Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith so that I can have wealth and success, as the prosperity preachers aver. Lord, increase our faith. Of course, we all know people who have prayed, faithful people who have prayed and prayed for healing, faithful people who have prayed to escape from difficult financial circumstances, and their praying does not often bring the results that they had hoped. And there may be some who would suggest that there is something wrong with their faith. But that is not true. There are many faithful people in the Bible. There are many faithful people in our world who undergo difficulty, and it has nothing to do with the quality of their faith. It's important to understand here that the disciples are not asking Jesus for faith so that they can engage in miraculous healing. They're not asking Jesus for faith so that they can enjoy wealth and success. Rather, they have heard Jesus instruct them as to what the life of a disciple is all about. And it's on the, when you look at it, a difficult instruction that Jesus has been giving them. One of the things that they are called to do is to forgive. Forgive not just once, but to forgive again and again. If your brother or sister sins against you 7 times in one day, then you are called to forgive them. And the disciples know how terribly difficult it is to forgive just one time, let alone 7 times. They know how terribly difficult it is to love enemies, as Jesus has instructed them earlier. They know how terribly difficult it is to deny themselves and to pick up their cross. And so they ask Jesus in the midst of what all that Jesus has been telling them and instructing them, Lord, increase our faith. Help us to live as the people that you have called us to be. Give us more faith. I've always thought that the Lord's response to this request was somewhat off-putting, a little bit mean-spirited, if you will. Jesus seems to be saying something like, you numbskulls, if you just had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could do wonderful things. You could tell this bush to go be planted in the sea. You could forgive 70 times 7. You could love your enemies. You could do all of these wonderful things if you just had enough faith, O ye of little faith. But the more I read this text, the more I'm inclined to think that Jesus was not in a rebuking mode. I think that the Lord is offering to them a word of encouragement. Remember, faith is not something that we can give ourselves, but it is a gift from God. And the preposition that is translated as if can also be translated as since. And I think that that's what Jesus is saying, that since you have faith, the faith of the size of a mustard seed, you can do wonderful things. It's not a matter of how much faith you have. It's not a matter of quantity. It's what you do with the faith that you have. It's how you live into the faith that is already been given to you. Faith, of course, is a small word, but it's one that looms large across the New Testament. When we think of faith, all kinds of things come to mind. When we talk about faith, we often talk about faith as belief, what it is we believe. We often make faith out of a head thing. We'll do that this morning after we have partaken of the Lord's Supper. We will affirm our faith by saying what we believe in the Apostles' Creed. We believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead and buried. We believe all of that. Some people believe more, some people believe all kinds of things, and believe what we believe is important. But faith is more than what we believe. It is more than just a head game. It is more than just our assent to a set of propositions. Faith is also about trust. It's about whether or not we will trust in God, whether or not we will entrust God with our lives. We have all played that game with others where we have leaned back to see if they will catch us, if they will prevent us from falling to the ground, and that's what trust is about. It's about leaning into God and knowing that God will catch us no matter what happens to us. Trust is not about believing that we will never suffer any hardship, but it's about knowing that our lives are in the hands of a loving God, that God has all of our lives in God's hands, and that God will indeed catch us. So faith is about belief, it is about trust, but it's also about what we would call faithfulness or loyalty. We talk about faithfulness, the faithfulness of a spouse, the faithfulness of a friend. And when we talk about faith, there's a certain aspect of faith that is about faithfulness to God, putting God first in our lives, having no other gods before the God who is the God of our lives. And so faith is about faithfulness, loyalty to God. And last, faith is also about vision. It is about what we see when we look at the world. What do we believe about the world? Do we believe that the world is a place that is out to get us? Do we believe that God is out to get us, waiting for us to do something bad and wrong so that God can get us? Do we believe that the universe is a dangerous place, an uncaring place, a cold place? Or do we believe that this world was created by a loving God who loves us and who has done everything that he can so that we might be redeemed, and not only us, but this whole creation? So faith is also about vision. It is about what we see. And that part about vision is important because Jesus, all through the Gospel of Luke, as we said last week, has been trying to give us a vision of the kingdom of God. He's been trying to get us to glimpse the way things will be when God finally has God's way with the world. God's coming kingdom. A kingdom of radical forgiveness. And so we are called to forgive even when it is not deserved. It is a kingdom of radical love. And so we are called to love even our enemies. It is a kingdom where those who are afflicted will be comforted and those who are last will be first. It is a kingdom where everyone is invited to the party, even people that we think ought not be there. It is a kingdom that we are invited to walk towards by dying to ourselves and picking up our own cross. It is a kingdom that is good news for people who are poor and broken and held captive. Last Sunday, some of us captured a glimpse of the kingdom in Aviator Park, right in the cultural heart of the city of Philadelphia. There we were, a small but diverse group of believers, most of whom were homeless, singing hymns, praising God, breaking bread, praying together. And in the midst of all of that, I couldn't help but to think that this is a glimpse of the kingdom of God. This is the way things will be when God finally has God's way with the world. This is the way that God's kingdom will be. And I wanted to believe that. I wanted to believe that this is the way that the world is moving. I wanted to believe that, but I know the world in which we live. I know the kind of world in which we live. A world of violence, a world of war, a world of homelessness, a world where we are divided racially, a world of animosity and mean-spiritedness, a world where our politics have turned cynical and mean-spirited. I know that kind of world. And so when I looked and saw a glimpse of that vision in Aviator Park, I said to myself, I want to believe God. I want to believe in that kind of world. I want to believe in that world where everyone is invited to the table. I want to believe in that world where there are no more barriers. I want to believe in that world where people who are homeless are a part of the worshiping community. I want to believe in that kind of world, Lord. So increase my faith. Help me to believe that. Help me to really believe in the vision, that kingdom vision. And I remembered the words of our Lord to his disciples. You don't need more faith. You just need to live in to the faith that I've already given you. You just need to exercise that faith that is already there. Rekindle that faith that is already in your heart. This Sunday is World Communion Sunday. And Christians all over the world will be celebrating the oneness and the unity that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They will be celebrating our common faith as Christians. But you know the world in which we live. You know the state of the church. We as God's people are terribly, terribly divided. We are divided according to denominations. We are divided across racial lines. We are divided by class. We are divided by theological outlook. We are divided by ideology. There are conservative Christians and progressive Christians, and being a Christian is no longer enough, it seems. We are divided in many different ways, but mostly I think we are divided by the hardness of our hearts. We are divided by our unwillingness to trust and believe in the kingdom vision that Jesus has set before us, that vision of love and peace and forgiveness and mutual care that overcomes our dividing walls and barriers. And so, yes, I want to believe what we affirm here on this Sunday, this World Communion Sunday. I want to believe that we are one as God's people. I want to believe that my brothers and sisters in Africa and in Asia and in Europe and in South America and in the Middle East, that we are one, that we recognize that we belong to each other. I want to believe that. But I remember what a Palestinian Christian said to me 2 years ago when I was in Israel, Palestine, and he wondered why American Christians don't seem to acknowledge Palestinian Christians. Why don't you American Christians acknowledge us, that we exist? We're so terribly divided. But Jesus says something that is really quite remarkable again in our text. Jesus says that in order to change things, in order for us to begin to believe and to live into what seems to be impossible, in order for us to become one, then it really doesn't take a whole lot of faith. All it takes is just a little bit, about the size of a mustard seed. If you have that kind of faith, Jesus says, you can change things. We can begin to change things. We can alter the landscape. We can move mountains. We can tell a mulberry bush to go into the sea and be planted there. Jesus isn't chastising his disciples, but he is showing us what it means to really live as a people of faith. We are all called to be people of faith. We are called to live into that faith. We are called to be more forgiving. We are called to be more loving. We are called to be more understanding. We are called to be more caring. And Jesus says if we just begin to do that, we begin to love and to care and to forgive, we'd be surprised about what we're able to do. All it takes is just a little bit. We don't have to do a whole lot. We just start out doing a little bit, just a little bit of forgiving, just a little bit of loving, just a little bit of caring, and you'll be surprised about what we'll be able to do, about the wonderful things that we'll be able to do as the body of Christ. That's what I like about this household of faith. We are truly a people of faith. We are truly a people who know what it means to live by faith. We are a people who have allowed the walls erected in our society that divides us to be torn down. We are a diverse group of people. We are a people who truly forgives one another and seeks to care for one another, who opens our heart to one another. And that's what it means to be a people of faith. That's what it means to trust God. That's what it means to put God first. It's not just about what we believe, because we often fight about what we believe. To be people of faith is about how we live, how we forgive, how we love, and how we care. And that's why we are here this morning on this World Communion Sunday. Together with Christians all over the world, we will come to the table. We will come to the Lord's table. And we will come to this table not just for our own individual nourishment, but we will come to this table in order to discern the body, in order to discern the body of Christ, in order to discern the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in our midst. And we discern that body every time we open our hearts to one another, and every time we look out for one another, and every time we forgive one another, and every time we help each other with our problems and our needs, we reveal the body of Christ that is in our midst. We show the world who we are. And so we don't need a whole lot of faith to do that. We just need to be obedient. We just need to be open and live into the faith that has been given to each and every one of us through the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I was listening to a preacher on one of the commentary sites that I was reading this week, and he was saying it's not about how much faith you have, but who you put your faith in. He talked about that passage in Matthew where Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It's not, doesn't matter how big it is, it's where you put it. If you lock it away in a bag or put it in a little capsule around your neck, it'll never grow. But if you plant it in fertile ground, it will grow and grow and grow and spread. And that's what our faith is like too. It's where we put it. Will we put it in the place of our hearts where we are called to be faithful so that it can grow and grow and grow? Or will we keep it vouchsafed in those places where it cannot spread? We fail to allow it to have us to reach out to one another. We fail to live as people of faith. Will we continue to walk in the way that brings life, the way of our Savior, Jesus Christ? You already have all the faith that you need, just a little bit, just enough, that will help us to live and to be the people that God has called us to be, the people who are on the way to eternal life, the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's to him that we give the honor and the glory to this morning. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have reminded us that you have equipped us with everything that we need to live as your people. You have given us faith. You have reminded us that we don't need a lot of it, because the faith that we are called to have is faith in you and faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that you help us to live as a faithful people. Help us to love each other and to love you with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our strength. Help us to take that mustard seed of faith that you have implanted in each and every one of our hearts and plant it in those places where your love will overflow, and that we will show the whole world who you are, that you are indeed the God who has redeemed this world, that you have redeemed it through your loving, steadfast love for each and every one of us. Help us to live into that faith. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.